This is the Inclusion Think Tank podcast, brought to you by New Jersey Coalition for Inclusive Education, NJCIE, where we talk about inclusive education, why it works, and how to make it happen. On today's episode, I welcome Vikas back for part two of our conversation. Vikas is a parent advocate, and as we continue our conversation, Vikas shares what advice he has for schools and parents who are on this inclusive education journey.
You know, it's a shame this has to be part of the conversation, but we're switching gears just a little bit. Can you share some of the challenges that you have faced when working with the school district, working toward inclusion for your child? And, you know, I know you said that it was, fairly positive experience. And, you know, we all know with the positive come a little bit of negative and challenges. So, if you could just share some of the challenges that you have faced.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And I would say this way, right? There is every challenge produces a new opportunity, right? So, and again, giving a positive spin to what has happened through the journey, right? I think the first few things, let's talk about what's the challenges. Children have different set of disability, they have different needs. So some are more visual learners, some may need some more a quiet environment to learn. So there are different ways every child with disability learns. So often what I find that one of the things that is sometimes lacking is the collaboration or communication between parents and teachers to understand what this child learns best with, right? So again, I'm going to spin this, what every challenge produces, provides an opportunity for the teachers and the parents. So having that ongoing communication with the teachers at every grade and every subject was the key to overcome the challenge in terms of understanding the learning behavior or the learning style of my daughter. So teachers were in a constant communication with us parents, me and my wife, to say, well, we are going to begin on a new chapter on or a new novel of Romeo and Juliet that's happening right now in high school. How can we help her some of this abstract topics, right? Like, for example, so we had a discussion, we talked about if you can give us some pre-teaching material or there are some online video resources because my daughter is a visual learner. So the district or the teachers actually came back with say, okay, here are some resources we can work with. Now, there are kids, which is not in the case of my daughter, who have certain behavior needs, right? Sometimes kids may have certain expression of behavior. It can be being a shutdown moment, or it can be a moment where they are very actively moving in the class, or may be creating some noises, which, is not ideal for a class setting. So what I've found that this behavior challenge is actually, and this is I taught with one of my case managers in middle school. She came back when my daughter had a couple of times of shutdown. She reached out and said to us, well, can you talk to your daughter and understand what we need to do differently tomorrow? So now, take a moment to absorb what she asked, right? She didn't say, hey, your child is a problem. She's not participating in the classroom. But, one of the things about behavior is what causes, this expression is either the child could be overwhelmed, the child could be underwhelmed, could be bored, could be tired, or find the subject that is being taught is too easy or too hard, or there may be other examples of what is causing that expression of that behavior, right? And I didn't, come up with this definition, of course, but the way this case manager came and approached, what do we need to do differently tomorrow for your daughter? That was such an you know, positive. I mean, it's more of an, as I said, it's an opportunity, right? That school is looking to say. So we had a chat with my daughter to say, what is happening? Well, my laptop key was stuck, and my, you know, this subject I did not understand fully, and maybe I need some help, right? She was expressive. We had a talk with the case manager next day. Oh, okay, maybe we realized we didn't pre-teach her, or we didn't give her a visual aid on this one. Okay, here comes the opportunity. How do we do this? Now, as you go into higher grades, yes, you know, there's no doubt about it that the curriculum will become more complex. The subjects will become more abstract in certain cases. And being able to understand, let's say, a topic in history that happened a few centuries ago, or, you know, something very abstract, requires a lot of planning between teachers and parents to say, how can I provide certain pre-teaching material or visual aid or different other methods to help children or students understand this abstract concept or a complex concept, break it down into steps. So our journey has been more of opportunities at every stage, that how do we make my daughter understand a particular concept, a particular, or participate in a particular activity. So when you, let's talk beyond academics, let's talk about field trips, right? So when the children go out in field trips, one of the worries is like, it's a large group and kids are running around, or maybe there's a, you know, there are other people present, and how do you keep, make sure, you know, every child with disability is safe, every child with, you know, is being attended to. So the district, again, would come up to us and say, okay, will your daughter be okay to, you know, be with the other students? We'll have one chaperon, or, you know, one teacher that'll take care of everyone. So we'll have that discussion. We'll have that planning. We'll show my daughter to say, okay, where you are going, you always be with the students. Don't wander around on your own. So I would say these were opportunities for learning, both for the teachers or service providers, and as well as parents, to say, how do you address each and every situation? Now, of course, as she's going into high school, for us now, the bigger learning moment is, how do you look at beyond high school transition, right? So whether we aspire, or she aspires, to actually go to college, whether it's college or community-based instruction, the job coaching. So those are newer, you know, learning moments for coming up for us and teachers to say, how do we work on this next? So I would say, if the teachers always, I summarize this, right? I think teachers always have the right intent. It's not that teachers do not want to include your child. It's often they lack resources. They lack help that they can get, be receive, whether within district or outside, that to make inclusion possible. I have so far not come across, and not talking about just my daughter right now, is any child that cannot be included in a classroom. It's just that we have to find the ways and means you can do it. Sorry for the long narrative.
That was great, because you brought up so many important points. And one of the things you said toward the beginning, you know, the different ways that children learn in general, just every person in general learns different ways. And if your child, your daughter, is a visual learner, you know, how can we include some of those resources to help, you know, share that information that she's required to learn through the, you know, curriculum of the school for that grade level? But how can you help support, you know, the way that she learns and the way that other students may learn through, you know, visual, if, you know, reading things is not, you know, something that people enjoy, if they're able to get a video of the same content, the same subject matter, you know, or an audio version of it, you know, that would be, you know, very beneficial to help them. And again, and that ties into what you said toward the end there, that, you know, every educator, teachers, and school districts, they, you know, they want to have all children included. It's just the lack of resources that may, you know, may not be available to them, and the supports that are needed to have children included. So, you know, it's definitely definitely worth everything that you said. I loved everything that you said.
Yeah, and I would say this way, right? One of the key things that works, really, the one word is communication between the teachers, the case managers, the service providers, and the parents, right? I think if there is a constant communication and teachers observe, there is an eagerness of this parents to work with, and especially like when in the elementary and middle school, when there is, you know, most of the communication is not happening with the child, but many times it's more with the parents. I think that communication is the number one key that makes these teachers believe they're working hard. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But when they see the parents are collaborative, forthcoming, I think that helps them, encourages them to say, okay, the next topic, the next subject is coming up. How can I, you know, prepare well so that this child is successful? And that is that key is the communication. That's the ongoing communication with the parents and the teachers.
Yes, and that actually leads right into our last question, which communication is definitely great advice, communication. But what other advice can you offer to districts and to parents who are on this inclusive education journey?
I would say this way, I think, and this one, let's talk first about New Jersey as such, right? I certainly applaud. I've been associated with the NJCIE as a parent for last 5-6 years. It's what our mission is to, you know, in New Jersey to improve inclusive education. One of the seminars I attended last summer, I learned that we rank 50th in the nation with respect to inclusion. It's really unfortunate where we have one of the best states in the country from a typical education, but from an inclusive education, our numbers are really low. I think the state and at different levels, like organizations like NJCIE, there are a lot of resources that are available that can help districts and teachers get resources to provide inclusive education. You may have heard this often, but I would say it starts with the mindset and willingness to do it. Yes, is the journey easy? No, it is not. There are a lot of learnings that come along the way for all sort of district professionals. So whether it's teachers, whether it's service-related service providers, whether it's the district administrators. But it can be done. It can be incrementally done. And the key part is, how do you continuously measure success and provide ways and means for teachers to be better educated, inclusive, to teach in an inclusive setting? I would say this way, when inclusion in most districts starts in the elementary level and the districts find a relative degree of success doing this. But as you go into middle school and high school, there's no doubt that the inclusion becomes a bigger, puzzle to solve. I would not say problem to solve, but I would say puzzle to solve. But it is very much doable. I'm seeing the example I can talk about from my daughter. I mean, middle school, we thought was going to be very difficult. I literally had butterflies in my stomach when my daughter went to sixth grade the first day. How is this going to work? I had the butterflies in my stomach when she started ninth grade, right? And I think it works, right? It is possible that the subjects or the curriculum, as it gets harder or the pace of teaching gets faster, there are ways you can be creative on teaching every child with disability a grade level curriculum. That is so important that the kids get exposed to the grade level curriculum with disability. You know, I say it this way, Arthur, if you teach grade level curriculum to the kids in an inclusive setting, your most of the times your IP goals are automatically met. You don't even, when you come to a meeting, because they are learning the grade level subjects, they are automatically learning or meeting their IP goals. Now, can a child who's not so expressive write a 3-page essay? Probably not. But can a child learn and write 5 sentences on a topic and still being able to express their understanding? That is the key. So it's not really, of course, the child has a disability. And if I'm expecting this child be able to write a 3-page essay or a 5-page assignment, no. But is the child able to learn the concept? Is the child being able to express what he or she has gained? That's the key message. So I think there are districts, if they start from the administrator level, to create that mission vision on inclusion. There are a lot of districts, like my daughter's school district, have had tremendous success doing it.
Yes, it. I really enjoyed your conversation today. It's really, it's always great to hear real life experiences of inclusion and how it works, and again the challenges that that have the families have faced, and one of the key things that you mentioned that has again been brought up in other conversations I've had is communication and having that open door of communication to, so everybody knows what's going on. That helps out so much and is very beneficial. And just the way and the way that the content is delivered, that has also been a very positive and reoccurring theme through these conversations, and just adapting to. Like you said, no, they may not be able to write the 3-page essay, but, in a couple of sentences, can they express that they understand what was, being taught, and that they were able to grasp those concepts of the, of the lesson. And that is, that's what is most important there. So I think.
And you asked one part on your last question about parents. I think communication is certainly the key, but the other part is, I think when my daughter was born, I think it took a while for me to even understand what does inclusion mean? What are different school settings that are there? So the key there is to start early, for the parents to start educating themselves. Honestly, I learned myself a lot by attending NJCIE conferences every year. Every summer, I'll go up, show up there, I'll participate, I'll listen carefully what, all these different presentations are there, and educate myself, right? Learn what are different avenues. Look, it's a blend of science and art, if I were to say, right? There is a... how do you navigate through this? There are laws that provide safeguards for kids with disabilities, but then it's hard. It's hard to navigate. And the key is, you will have to spend time in your busy day taking care of that child, but also educating yourself to say, how do I advocate inclusion for my child? And this journey of advocacy, until early years, it's you are advocating for your child, but you're preparing your child also to be a self-advocate as they grow up into their 20s, right? So early learning of how to navigate the system is also a key message I would say to other parents, that they need to spend time on this.
Yes. Again, thank you for this great conversation. I really enjoyed it. And again, you, in your conversation about your daughter and her current, currently being in ninth grade, it took me back to my ninth grade years and the great, great experiences that I, was able to have with, some of my teachers and friends who I still have today. And we're, in our 40s, which is hard to believe at this point, but, so thank you again for, taking the time to have this conversation. with me for the podcast episode. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Arthur.
Yes.
For having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And you have a great day.
You too.
Great. Thank you.
We thank you for listening to this episode of the Inclusion Think Tank podcast. This podcast is brought to you by New Jersey Coalition for Inclusive Education, NJCIE. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on social media at NJCIE. Until next time.